following took place on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Texas, USA. Earth.
This weekend, we'll have college football for you right here on Sports Radio 610, Longhorns and Florida Atlantic. This Wednesday at 9 p.m., the first edition of Longhorn Sports Line with Mac Brown. You can be heard right here, as I mentioned, 9 p.m. here Wednesday evening. On that Longhorn-related note, we will talk Longhorns football here with Peter Bean of Burnt Orange Nation, who's joined us a couple times or previously here to talk about the Longhorns. So how goes it during what I guess everyone here there in Austin definitely calls game week, finally being here. Hey, Peter.
Hello, guys.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, there you are. How's it going, guys?
Great. Good to have you with us. It is game week now, so what's the focus when you're going out to practice to see what they're getting ready for, these bullies from Florida Atlantic?
Well, they released the depth chart today, and it's a big conglomeration of fours. And you can't tell who's actually starting, who's going to play. And I think at this point, I don't think even the coaches are totally sure what they're going to do. I think the one thing that really stuck out to me today when looking at the depth chart was how many young players Texas is really going to be counting on for big minutes this year. There are five safeties listed on the two deep, and all of them are either redshirt or true freshman. So you're going to see a lot of new guys that weren't playing last year, guys that just got to campus that Texas is going to be counting on. So with a team like that, you're just not sure what to expect. But I think one thing that I've noticed kind of heading into this first game is there seems to be a lot more positive momentum than there was at this time last year. You know, last summer, 2007, there were the strings of arrests, all sorts of negative energy heading into the season. And this year, everything seems to have been building forward after things bottomed out after that A&M loss.
One thing I noticed over the last several days, I believe Mac Brown was commenting on the difficulty of the Florida Atlantic team as a first opponent with what they do well, as with what you said in the secondary, they throw the ball well. I was wondering, at what point did someone let Mac Brown know Florida Atlantic is your opponent? You might want a game plan for a team that throws the ball exceptionally well and is bringing back just about everybody among the skill position players, including a very good quarterback.
Yeah, Mac Brown sounded a little bit surprised. You know, Rusty Smith, the quarterback, was the Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year last year. I don't know how that slipped past Mac Brown, but I was talking to Tim Hutton of the Orlando Sun Sentinel today, and he told me that Coach Nuhlenberg actually thinks Rusty Smith is the best quarterback that's ever played in the Sun Belt Conference and actually has a first-round draft pick potential in the NFL. This kid is big, he's tall, he's smooth. And the thing that Tim Hutton emphasizes, he doesn't make mistakes. He's a real smart guy. He manages the game really well. He takes what's given to him. And with these young safeties Texas is going to be putting out on the field, we know that they're going to get tested early and often deep. So, you know, one thing I love about Texas' non-conference schedule, and you know, if you asked me a year ago about this schedule, I might have just shrugged a little bit. But Texas is going to be playing four teams, none of whom are great overall, but all four are great passing teams. You know, in the Big 12 with these big spread passing attacks that dominate this conference right now, that's going to be real good for these young players to grow up real fast. I think prepare us for teams like Colorado, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, all of whom can really gun the football for the year.
It is going to be a difficult test with the passing game that Florida Atlantic brings this week. You talked about all the young safeties, freshmen, redshirt freshmen back there. Who's going to be starting at cornerback along with Ryan Palmer, and who's that third cornerback off the bench?
Deion Beasley is your other starting cornerback, and I like him to have a breakout year. I think he's a guy that's going to be, at this time next year, on the short list for a lot of national awards. You know, he's actually, I think, my favorite example of proper player development. You know, Mac Brown has been criticized, I think, fairly at times for being a little too hesitant with young guys, playing them a little too late in their careers, you know, easing them in. Deion Beasley has been baptized by fire. He was thrown in as a true freshman, and it was ugly at times. He made mistakes. He got burned. Last year, the first half of the year, he's still making mistakes, still kind of learning. But by the end of last year, you could really see the light come on. And that's how you have to do it. You've got to put these kids out there. You've got to trust them. You've got to let them make some mistakes. And now Texas finds himself in a great position where Deion Beasley is going to be, as a junior, an every down starter, a shutdown type corner, and then he, of course, for 2009, when I like Texas to make a title run, he's going to be, I think, an All-American type player.
Are the players making a big deal over the last week or so and leading up to the game on Saturday about Howard Schnellenberger's comments recently about Texas not being a very physically tough team and talking about dinky passes and so on and so forth? Are the coaches using that at all?
Oh, you know they are. You know, the coaches and players are saying all the right things, you know, not getting into a war of words, but you know that it's the bulletin board material. And, you know, I try not to get too much into intangibles, but I think with all team sports, it matters a little bit more with football. And like I mentioned earlier with the momentum heading forward, this is just one more thing that kind of gets Texas. You know, last year they came out so flat against Arkansas State. I don't think there's any chance that Texas is going to take Florida Atlantic lightly. And if there was, Coach Schnellenberger made sure that that's not possible anymore.
Certainly seems that way. Peter Bean of BurntOrangeNation.com joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Got through the secondary a little bit there, and I think their situation might be a little bit like the linebackers and a little bit like the running backs. What do you think, the fact that we're trying to decide, well who's going to be the starter and who's going to do this, when in reality, at the linebacking spot, aren't we going to see four or five guys there? It looks like Muck and Sergio are in as starters, but you're probably going to see both Bobbino and Jared Norton, and in the backfield. Obviously, Fozzie Whitaker's injury has changed things a little bit, but it still seems like each of those guys is going to get time as the tailback as the game progresses, and obviously as the four-game non-conference schedule progresses.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I think you're going to see Texas. I mean, a lot of positions, wide receiver as well. Texas has a lot of new guys that are going to be looking to prove themselves this year, and that's why I'm not sure it's realistic for Texas to win the Big 12 this year. They have enough talent that it's possible, but I think this year is kind of a time to figure out what we've got, and Texas hasn't always done that very well in the past. We've kind of buried young players that need to develop. But this year you're going to see a lot of guys in there, and there seems to be a real attitude of the best players that perform are going to play. And it doesn't matter what your age or your experience is. Everybody's going to get – there's going to be heavy rotations. And if this is a good year for Texas, for me, the barometer I'm looking for is that we use this year to figure out what we've got for 2009, when everything sets up so well for us. If you see Texas playing everything close to the vest, that means we're in a little bit of trouble.
Seems like every spring and summer there's a lot of talk about this season Greg Davis going to open up the offense a little bit more, and that talk once again resurfacing. Does that almost entirely revolve around John Childs and his role in this offense?
Well, you know, I'd like to see what Major Applewhite brings. You know, Greg Davis has needed some fresh blood, and you know, one thing to remember is we've seen this before. You know, we hear this maybe every summer that, you know, we're going to open things up, and you know, there's always talk about trick plays, but you know, it's not so much incorporating trick plays as it is. It's just being a little bit more diversified, passing on running downs, running on passing downs. And Texas is, as at times, you feel like watching as a fan, you almost know which play is coming. And it certainly looks like the defense often does at times, too. So now, that's something really to watch. One thing that we're going to have to find, and, you know, John Childs is one key. But who's going to be the game breaker for Texas? You mentioned Fozzie Whitaker; he kind of nicked up his knee, but he's the guy I'm really looking for. And the other one is Malcolm Williams. He's just a big, big guy, and he reminds me a little bit of Lima Swede, except when Lima was a redshirt freshman. If you remember, he was getting pushed around a little bit by defensive backs, and you could tell he needed to add a lot of strength. Malcolm Williams, when you get up close to that kid, he is some kind of athlete. He is thick and strong, and maybe the best athlete at the wide receiver position. I'm looking for him to have a breakout year, and if he does and can provide that deep threat, that's going to help the running game more than anything else.
Got any thoughts on the stadium and atmosphere for this first game? One, because obviously much of the new stadium is there for you to see. I don't know how much you've seen already, and if I'm not mistaken, are they not retiring the number 10 on Saturday night?
It's going to be rowdy. You know, Texas... Again, this is another one of those, you know, things you asked me a year ago about this game. I don't know what I would have told you, but Florida Atlantic they had a great little season last year, won their bowl game, beat Memphis handily. Schnellenberger's been jawing to the press, and then, of course, Vince Young is going to have his number retired. The stadium's going to be seating 98,000 for the very first time. I think it's going to be one of the rowdiest home openers. It's a night game. If you don't have a ticket, you got to watch on pay-per-view, but I tell you what, inside that stadium is going to be the place to be.
That's where I'm going to be. Make the trip up there this weekend, try to catch at least one game a year, and we'll do it then. We talked about, I think, just over our conversations and our conversations with you, and even reading on a lot of stuff you guys have been posting over at burnoriginnation.com, and even in most of the articles we read, both in the local papers there and really all over the place, the last thing that seems to get in there is the most important player to the offense, and that's Colt McCoy. It's to the point now in his career, it's like he's a given, and I believe that he is, but how much better do you think he can be than when he was a healthy freshman and when he was a healthy sophomore? Because an unhealthy McCoy wasn't a very good football player, and with all the other changes around him, it's even more important that this now longtime starter has a huge year if they want to even approach some of the lofty goals that I guess boosters probably still have. Realistic people might not. But how good can he be?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's the million-dollar question. I don't know what to say about Colt McCoy. You know, he probably sometime around November of this year, he's going to become, in all likelihood, Texas' all-time leading passer in terms of yards. That's pretty remarkable when you really stop to think about it. You know, he had that kind of magical redshirt freshman year, and then the 18 interceptions last year. And it's like now I don't know what to expect from Cole. And the real paradox for me is, you know, you hear from Davis and you hear from McCoy, who talks about needing to manage the game a little better and, you know, put the brakes on or whatever. All that's great. We do need Colt McCoy to cut down on the turnovers. But at the same time, that you know, the other big question for Texas on offense this year is where the big play is going to come from. You know, when McCoy was a redshirt freshman, part of his success, remember, was Lima Sweet deep. Lima Sweet had 12 touchdowns as a junior, and when he got injured in late August of last year, that and he kind of played through it to the Oklahoma game, but wasn't himself. Texas never had a deep threat. I'm not sure it's a coincidence at all that Colt McCoy's struggles coincided with that. So who's going to be the Lima Sweet for Texas this year? And that's why I mentioned Malcolm Williams as one of the real keys on offense to Texas this year. If Williams can break out and he can be that guy that separates downfield, keeps the safeties deep, I think McCoy can and will succeed. I think he's good enough. But if Texas doesn't have that deep threat, and it's not clear right now that they do, if that doesn't emerge, I don't know that another year like last year is not what we should expect from McCoy. Maybe some improvement, but without that deep threat, the teams are going to just keep creeping up.
It's a big-time competitive South, a lot of big-time quarterbacks overall in the Big 12. Missouri and Oklahoma, both at the very least among the Big 12 teams, have national championship aspirations, if not others. So makes for a great start. We look forward to having the games here on Sports Radio 610 again this year, and certainly look forward to hopefully catching up with you again throughout the season. Also want to remind people, in addition to burntoriginnation.com, where Peter and his staff constantly updating, posting, and good forums there as well on the Horns, the Eyes of Texas 2008, the annual guide to the Horns is available to you now at newsstands, and there's some good stuff in there. Peter, the editor of that publication as well. Guess what? Peter and the Longhorns, it's basically the same thing. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate the time.
Enjoy. I look forward to talking to you guys soon. Enjoy the game in Austin.
We will do it. There's no doubt about that.